Oh my goodness, Alexa Havis' contract is up. What's she gonna do? She's got a really interesting storyline with Evil Richie. I don't think they're gonna kill her off. Babe's too important. She's got a little lady to worry about. Babe escaped a man who was a psycho. Babe, now she's safe and hugging mama. Babe, she turns around, don't look the same, oh babe. She's not the same, she's really changed. Her hair is frizzy and her nose job's lame. Oh babe, oh babe, we miss you, real babe. Come back, don't go to Hollywood. We need you in Pie Valley. This week on All My Children, the new babe is here, and we barely even noticed. Ava's got Johnny's spirit soaring above the trees while JR straddles her in the bushes. Blandy gets shot. And around 1:55 p.m. on October 12, 2007, cheers are heard round the country. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast. Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza, and I am flying solo this week. Last week we had the wonderful Jordan Hudson, and he could not be here with us this weekend, but he had some valuable things to say to me about what he thought about the babe, you know, send off. And he called me. He must have left yours like a 3 minute. No, actually, it was probably like a 5 minute voicemail because he was so upset about how Babe left the show, how Alexa Havens left the show. Now, he had some very valid points, people. As you all know, the beautiful, very talented actress, Miss Alexa Havens, who originated the role of Babe about 4 years ago, has left the show. She and her husband, Justin Bruning, have decided to end their contracts and to go to the West Coast, to Hollywood, to hopefully move on to film and television work, you know, primetime television work. And we wish them the best. We really do love them. They have been so fantastic all these years on All My Children. Now, what the writers decided, I guess the powers that be, I should say, decided that Babe could not leave the show the way normally, you know, when an actor leaves the show, normally they're written off or something like that. They're killed off, written off. But they didn't see that happening with this character. And I think probably largely because she would have to either take Little A or leave Little A. And that's not where the character was at all. Like, her and JR were doing fine, and you really couldn't have Babe leaving Little A. And you certainly couldn't have her stealing Little A. It just wouldn't fly, people. We don't need another baby stealing storyline. Thank you very much. And so the writers decided to do this little trick thing where, so stupid, Babe comes back from being stuck in the woods with Richie, and they're all at the comeback, and there's like everybody there, and they're all happy to see Babe, and she hugs Mama, and Mama's so happy to see her. Mama's crying and all that stuff. And then we turn around and they let go of the hug, and you see the new actress, Amanda Baker, playing Babe. Now, I have to say, people, it was really silly. It was a gimmick, and it was a silly thing, and Jordan was so upset because he thought it was a slap in the face to the actress that played and originated that role. And I have to agree, I think it was. I really think it was. He thought it was disrespectful. He was fuming, people. Fuming. Like, I had to hold the phone away from my ear because it was burning because Jordan was so angry. So anyway, so we'll see what happens with the new Amanda Baker as Babe. I'm going to try not to be negative because I'm solo here. I got no one to counter my opinions. But I'm not real impressed so far, people. I would love to know your thoughts. You can email me, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, and let me know what you think. Because right now, I don't know. I'm saying that Amanda Baker needs time. I want to be fair to this lady. She needs a little time to, you know, get into the character and find the character on her own. But right now, I'm seeing a lot of hand movements. I'm seeing frizzy hair, and I'm seeing really bad plastic surgery. So I know that's lame, but that's what I'm seeing. I'm going to leave it at that. We'll see what happens. But I got to tell you, people, I was a real goofy Wes hater. And now that he's Evil Richie, I find him a little bit more interesting. Like, I find the actor that plays him a little more interesting now. I'm starting to see it, people. You all were trying to tell me, and I'm starting to see it. So, we'll see what happens. Anyway, let's do... I'm always hesitant when I'm on a solo show to do too much recap because I tend to be a little chatty, people. And I need someone to kind of shut me up. But since I don't got no one to shut me up today... I'll try to give you an edited recap, if you will. Now, basically, we talked about Babe coming back from being stuck in the woods with who she thought was Wes, who was actually Evil Richie, Blandy's brother. Or we're supposed to believe he's evil. Because as Babe said to everybody else, he was sweet as pie to her up in that woods. And she never felt in danger. She never felt worried or afraid. So, you know, the jury is still out at this point. And then it was really weird, though. It was really weird seeing, like, JR roughing her up for, like, taking little Lay to spend time with Richie. And it was so strange because it's, like, a new, crazy, different Babe. So, and I got to tell you, people, that girl has frizzy hair. Like, it looks frizzy. It looks like more mature hair, if you know what I'm saying. I don't get it. Like, normally, I think people, there's like a break-in period for new people on the show. Like, there's like an ugly period. Like when I was 12, 13 years old, like when I look at my pictures, my school pictures from between, actually, I would say 11 to 14, I was real ugly. Like, I had braces and I had glasses. And like, to make matters worse, I got them all at the same time. Like, I got braces when I was 11 and then like, 4 weeks later, literally, I had glasses, and they were like thick glasses, and they were not nice glasses. And I look at those pictures of my goofy smile and my big glasses, and I had an ugly period. And then, like, as I hit high school, and the glasses came off, and the braces came off, like, I got a little better looking. So Taylor still makes fun of my Coke bottle glasses, but I only wear them when I don't wear contacts. So anyhow, what I'm trying to say is I think there's like a little break-in period, like, until the makeup people and the wardrobe people figure people out, they, like, don't look so great. But, like, I got to tell you, like, Blanty's really looking better. Like, she only used to wear mom jeans, and she used to have, like, stringy hair, and she was real boring, you know. And she's gotten a little bit hotter, I got to tell you. I still don't like the character, but she's gotten a little hotter. So they, like, figured her out, you know. And the same thing with Sabine. Like, they're figuring Sabine out, and she's looking real. She's looking much prettier. So maybe that will happen with New Babe. I don't know. Anyway, listen, I got to tell you, people, when Babe was talking to Minnie Hands Julia at the comeback, I was so angry, I was about to throw a shoe at Carlos's high-definition television. They put that woman, Miss Sydney Penny, who just had a child, who is trying to lose the baby weight, in black and white horizontal thick stripes. People, even I don't do that, all right? I got a big butt, but I'm telling you right now, I don't wear no horizontal stripes on my butt. You know what I'm saying? You want to be called a wide load? You put on horizontal stripes. I was so angry because I love me some Minnie Hands Julia. And it feels like they're just trying to drain the life out of that woman. So upsetting. Minnie Hands Julia, you got to tip the wardrobe people. At the end of the year, at Christmas time, you got to put a little something extra in the envelope. You know what I'm saying? That will really help. And I liked it too at the comeback when, like, Crystal was all there and Kobe was there and Tad was there. Everybody was there. Kind of like that. They and Colby brought up the point that maybe Blandy wasn't what she seemed. So another point for Miss Colby, who we love. All right, do I need to talk about Richie? I think I do. A lot happened. Basically, at the beginning of the week, we had Richie holding Emma in front of Blandy, and he gives Emma right back to Blandy, no questions asked. And like, people, I kind of blanked, like, on some of this stuff. I think I was, like, I don't know, loading the dishwasher or something. But I saw Ryan and Aiden bring Richie into a warehouse. Like, they went outside and they were like, you get away from Annie and blah, blah, blah. And they brought him into a warehouse. Now, people, there was some polka festival going on. And it was real creepy because they go in and they start to sort of ask questions of Richie, and this polka music is playing. And it's almost like when, like, you know, scary movies, when you hear, like, the killer brings, like, the person in to the room and locks the door behind them and turns on the stereo so that you don't hear them. You know, when they kill the person, I was real intrigued. I was like, this is interesting and creepy. So right before, we get a little foreshadowing because we hear Tad tell Greenlee that Aiden is like a British ninja or something like that. So I'm like, all right, what is Tad setting up here? So then we hear Aiden telling Ryan that he'll handle Richie alone, you know, because I know a few techniques that might move us along. And if you don't speak Aiden, that means that he knows a few techniques that might move the interrogation along. So he then says to Richie, while Ryan is gone, I must apologize for my friend Ryan. He didn't introduce us properly. I'm not just his friend, Richie. I'm special ops. Do you know what that means, Richie? It means when I ask questions, I get answers. So Ryan has gone off, people. He has gone to call Blandy. And Blandy hears the polka music. And then they realize that they're at the pump house. So Ryan brings him to the pump house. He opens the door and Aiden has this mofo on a noose. I kid you not, people. Aiden has strung that man up on a noose. And I wanted to scream. I was like, dag, Aiden, you are a sick mofo. That's what I thought to myself. I was really angry too because people... I don't believe in that stuff. I don't believe in that stuff that, like, if you, like, torture people and stuff, that they say stuff. That's stupid. People will say anything you want to hear when you got a noose around your neck. So that's stupid. And I never seen Aiden be like that. So that was really inconsistent, I thought, with his character. So anyway, I thought it was crazy. And I actually liked it a lot, people, when Wes kicked his own chair out as the police came. He was like, screw this, screw this. And he kicked his chair and he went down. And then Ryan had to catch him. And I really loved it, people. I thought it was a really, really, really crazy thing. Anyhow, I gotta tell you, Ryan and Aiden try to defend themselves to the cops when the cops bring him in. Because, of course, Richie has to go to hospital because he almost just about damn near killed himself. And I loved it when Ryan and Aiden would try to defend themselves to the cops. And the cops are not buying it. And I was really proud of the writers because they really clearly made the point that it was Aiden that put Richie in a noose. You can't, you know, evil Richie may have, like, kicked the chair and stuff, but he didn't put himself in a noose. That's what I'm saying. So, and of course, you have Blandy blaming Richie, and it's just crazy. And the cops don't buy it. Nobody buys it. So anyway, oh, and Aiden was really funny because Aiden comments that he has worked with stone cold terrorists who cry for their mommies with a noose around the neck, and Richie did nothing. That means that they cry for their mommies with a noose around their neck, and Richie didn't do nothing. I thought it was really funny. I don't know. This whole new crazy Aiden, this like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde Aiden, I'm not really buying it, but it is definitely entertaining, people. Definitely entertaining. And during this whole thing, I was really grossed out because Greenlee and Blandy were bonding. I gotta tell you, I found it all odd. Like, Blandy, like, pours her heart out to Greenlee and tells her that Richie tried to kill some kid when they were little. And, like, isn't there, like, a saying, like a Shakespeare saying, thou doth protest too much or something like that? Like Hamlet or something like that? So it's really, you know, I like it because it's fun. Like, I like the thinking of Blandy as a double personality or something. I think, like I've said on the show before, I think that would be fun, but we'll see what happens. And I also liked, Zach was, like, encouraging Aiden and Ryan to look at Richie's past to find the mistake that will help them. It was like Zach was Hannibal Lecter, and Aiden and Ryan were Clarice, and he was instructing them how to find the killer. You know? I loved it. I have to say, and I love Zach's cool demeanor. Like, I love it. I don't know. I know a lot of people don't agree, but I love it. Anyhow, and then you had some babe scenes with Richie, and you know, I have to tell you, like, I was really, during these scenes, I was really missing old babe. I'm really appreciative that the writers are, like, easing her in and that it wasn't, like, every day of the week was babe, babe, babe. You know, and it was fine. Like Amanda Baker was, like, you know, kind of tearing into Richie, you know, as babe. She was tearing into Richie, you know, for being dubious and stuff. But, like, we'll see. We'll give it some time. I shouldn't really, it's really not fair of me to criticize yet because, you know, she has had barely a week on the show, but she was using her hands an awful lot of people. I don't know why that bothers me. Like, Miss Sabine Singh has them hands pumping up and down for an hour. I get to get tired watching the hands flapping. You know what I'm saying? I get exhausted. I can't keep up with it. So we'll see what happens. But Richie makes his case to Babe. You know, like, he tells Babe that Blandy is the one that's telling stories, which I don't know. I thought he was doing, like I said, people, I thought he's doing much better as Wes, the guy, the actor playing Wes. I'm forgetting his name right now, but the actor playing Wes is doing a much better job. And I liked when his father came in, like the deaf father. And, you know, Richie talks to his dad in front of Babe. And they, like, I think it was kind of cool because it kind of gives Babe doubts about Blandy, which was kind of interesting, you know. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. The only thing I hated, people hate it, and I told Jordan Hudson this, I hated it. I hated that Richie told his dad that Ryan tried to kill him. And the reason why I hated it is because I enjoyed the mystery of whether or not Richie was, like, really crazy, really evil. But now it's kind of clear, like, because we know that Ryan did not try to kill, because we know that Ryan and Aiden did not move that chair and that it was Richie, you know, doing that. So it kind of, like, really ruins it for me. I was like, dag. I wanted him to be good. I wanted Blandy to be bad. So I don't know. Anyhow, I thought it was funny, too. Blandy went to see Richie and her dad, like, literally pushes her out of the room. Like, literally. It was pretty funny. And then there was this weird thing, people. Kendall distracts the guards so that Blandy could get past the guards and go in to talk to Richie because she's determined to talk to him and figure this out. But it was really strange because she gets in, right? And, like, they talk. And she says that she's going to make a deal with him. You know, like, money. She has plenty of money. That she would do psychiatric time or something. And then we don't really hear the rest of the conversation, right? And we see her tussling and yelling at Richie, like screaming. So I'm thinking they have a pact. Like, she's going to act crazy. They have a pact. She's going to act crazy. And then she's going to go to the psychiatric ward and he's going to be avenged, so to speak. But then that didn't really play out because it sort of played out. Goofy Richie, because he was Goofy Rich. Now he's a little bit still goofy, so I call him Goofy Richie. Goofy Richie gives a fake confession. He makes a statement that gets Ryan and Aiden off the hook. And so I'm thinking at this point that maybe this is part of the arrangement. Maybe Blandy goes psycho and he acts sane and she gets put away. But it didn't really play that way. He basically tells the court, Wes basically tells the court that, you know, he put the noose around his neck because his mom died that way and, I don't know, something weird like that. And he, you know, kicked his own chair, that he just wants to be close to his sister and all this stuff. I don't know, it was strange. And then, of course, Ryan and Aiden don't get it. They're thinking they're lucky stars, but they don't get it. And then Ryan goes off and threatens him and has this dumb conversation that's not really very scary. That's the thing, people, that bothers me about this Ryan situation. I'm never scared. Like, I'm never like Ryan doesn't seem really, really, truly threatening to me. I don't know what it is. Like, Zach, holy cow, that man looks at you the wrong way and you quake in your boots. Like, I like quaking my boots when I see Zach threaten someone, and I love it. I'm like, ooh, he's all man. And I don't feel that with Cameron Matheson, with Ryan. I don't know. I don't know if it's the way they've written him or the way he's, I don't know what it is. I want my old manly Ryan back. I don't want no more Nivea gold lotion. I want my old Ryan back. You know what I'm saying? That Richie has a very toothy smile. Very toothy. That's all I could say. So he and Ryan get done talking and Ryan's threatening him and such. And Blandy privately proposes dinner to him. Now, here's what's weird to me. And here's why I almost threw another shoe at the television. This whole time, we are supposed to think that Richie is so evil and so scary. But him and Blandy are having a perfectly rational conversation about dinner. And he's telling her that he never hated her. And she's saying, let's go to dinner. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this picture? She doesn't even look like one iota scared at that point. But yeah, she was crying and clutching at her breast. Woe is me. My evil brother Richie has come to town. Woe is me. I don't get it, people. So he comes to dinner. He comes early. And I really liked it. He said, I'm coming early in case you have any ideas of making this dinner my last, which I loved. I thought that was pretty smart. He wants 7 years of his life back, people. I don't know how he's going to get it, but, and I kind of, it's kind of funny because Richie's not very scared, at least so he says, of Ryan. He basically calls Ryan a wussy. Kind of like how me and Taylor used to call Ryan wussy boy Ryan. He kind of calls him a wussy. And then he says, and then Blandy says to him, what do you know about being a man? Ryan's a real man. What do you know about being a man? I'm just like, ooh, no comment, people. For once in my life, I'm not going to make a comment. So then, you know, Richie goes back and forth with like, what can you do to avenge me? And blah, blah, blah. And he finally decides to give up. He's so mad. He's so pissed off because Blandy could never make it up to him. So he goes to leave. Ryan comes in. Ryan comes in with a gun. We had seen him before in an alleyway brandishing a gun. And he and Annie pull this thing where it goes from 0 to 60 in like the last minute, literally, of the show. It was like 1:55 on the screen. And literally at the last minute, they do this tussle and the gun goes off and you see Blandy falling to the ground. Now, I don't know about you people, but I heard in my neighborhood, I heard a cheer. Like, I heard loud cheers from a couple of the houses. And I have to believe that it's because Blandy got shot. I know that's how I felt. You know, it was like a very joyful moment for me. You see, I know that's terrible, people. I know. I don't like the character. I don't like her. She doesn't bring me joy. I don't look forward to her scenes. I don't look forward to seeing her. Please, people, enough. We already got some opinions, folks, on what that means. On what the whole thing means. Most of the majority opinion is that Blandy is not hurt at all. And that her and Ryan are pulling shenanigans to scare the crap out of Wes. Richie, excuse me. I like him better as Wes. I don't like Richie. That's a girly name. Richie. It's like a baby name. Little Richie. You know what I'm saying? I like Wes. That's a nice manly name. Anyhow, that's the popular opinion. Other people think that, you know, she really did get shot and that they took it too far. But I'm saying there was some plotting going on. It was too out of character. It's too ridiculous for both of them. Too crazy. And why would Blandy grab a... It's so stupid. Like, so dumb. All right, people. You probably liked it. So I'm not going to be too negative. It was a good development. I shouldn't say it was so dumb. I like what happened. It was fun. It was interesting. I think ultimately it's going to be a big old setup. You know what I'm saying? That's Ashley Mendoza's opinion. And that's why you listen. To get Ashley Mendoza's opinion. Got a little story mixing here for those of you who are not watching the show, or even for those of you who are. We had Amanda warning Johnny in the beginning of the week about Ava. And I have to admit, I was a little suspect of why she was warning Johnny so much. I really do feel there's got to be a little tinge of jealousy in there, because no one seems to want to own Amanda. Like, I don't mean own, I mean like marry. Like, she's good enough to be the friends with benefits, but she ain't good enough to be with forever. You know what I'm saying? Johnny rejected her. JR rejected her. Although, to be fair, JR didn't really reject her. She has set the terms with JR. And she's sticking to him. She don't love JR. She's just having fun with him. But I have to tell you, I love that yacht set. Like, I love Amanda in that royal blue satin sheets. I think it's so beautiful. She looks gorgeous. The yacht looks gorgeous. I do love the fake ship in the background. You people got to, like, really tune in with the high-definition television, because that ship is the same ship every time they dock. It's pretty funny. That boat never moves. I guess where they're docked, that other boat in the background, out the window, never moves. I was a little grossed out, however. Went long hair. JR took off his shirt and was, like, trying to, like, attack Amanda. She stops him. She's like, before you go any lower, which I loved. She found the file, people. Like a Slater file. Like JR went out of his way to make a Slater file. It was so silly. It's pretty funny. But she finds out, she like quizzes him on like what's going on with them and what they're doing, and it was pretty cool. Although, people, listen, I gotta tell you, I think it was Melissa that wrote in and said this. I don't even think you need... Melissa suggested that you need a high-definition television to see this, but I don't think you do. I think that's the shame of it. Our JR has gotten a little chubby. I don't know, people. I don't know if he's like fat and happy kind of thing. Like he just got married and he's happy, you know? I don't know. He's a little tiny bit big to me. Like I can't say he's fat. It's kind of like with Ava. I can't say she's fat. She ain't fat, but she's a little mushier than she used to be. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. It's interesting. They're still both very attractive people. Don't get me wrong. Please don't write me letters and get mad at me because I'm making anybody anorexic. I'm really not trying to do that. I'm just commenting. It's just a little bit different for both of them. You know what I'm saying? So JR tells Amanda basically kind of the whole idea, but he doesn't give her specifics, which she's happy with, you know. And then she tells him that Johnny and Ava get married. Now, in the meantime, you got Ava going crazy. She's, like, making charts with Special Lily. And those are my favorite parts of the week, I have to tell you. Like the nice moments with her and Special Lily are really nice. Like, when she's, like, really doesn't know what to do and she's getting counsel from her sister. She's also worried about her sister, you know? Like, she doesn't want her sister to be hurt by her. So that was really nice. And then it was kind of funny because you could tell, obviously, Ava's very young, of course, very confused, of course. She thinks of herself as an Oscar winner. And then she also thinks of herself as pregnant and, like, barefoot kind of thing, like, as a housewife and frumpy. And I really like those scenes. They were pretty cute. They were pretty funny. And in both of them, Johnny's kind of, like, he's either with her or he's holding her back. You know what I'm saying? So I think she's obviously a little bit torn. And she makes a decision that she's going to marry him. But then she makes a big paparazzi event, people. She puts, like, this tattoo, like, John and Ava or something like that on her hip. And she sets up the paparazzi and she shows the paparazzi her little tattoo in front of Johnny. And Johnny's not mad. No, I'm not mad. I'm never mad. I love you. And I love everything about you. Even the really selfish, awful, disrespectful things you do. Don't bother me. Because I love you. And only you. It's pretty sickening, people. I gotta tell you. He is such a doormat. I liked him better when he was Psycho Johnny Boy. When he was Special Johnny. I don't know. It was just a little more fun. This Johnny's too sure of himself and too doormatty. You know, maybe he's taking a page from his brother. Like, maybe they're like, I don't know. They're both doing the doormat thing these days. I don't get it. Ava is so manipulative, too. Like, she turns everything on him. Like, she did it for him. Like, she did this paparazzi stunt for him and blah, blah, blah. And then she tells him he won't get on his knees to marry her or something. Like, she makes him get on one knee. And, oh, it's so silly. And, like, I don't know. I think the writers made a bad decision, people. I think they jumped it on this one. They took it too fast, even for me. Because I'm so now uncomfortable with the Johnny and Ava scenes. I would have liked it to be a little slower. But I'm so uncomfortable now because it's so clear that he's moving so fast. And she's, like, not into it. And this whole JR thing. I don't know. It's really weird. JR, of course, shows up at the comeback. And it was funny because Adam walks by and he's like, "Watch your pocket, son." Referring to Ava, which I thought was funny. And then he gives her, like, Sophie's Choice. He's like, you know, either you marry Johnny or you be my muse, but you can't have both. Something like that. I don't know. Like, fame or love. I don't know. Something stupid like that. I don't know if he said exactly that, but it was something stupid. And he was so skeevy. But I do love how he calls Johnny Psycho Boy. That's my favorite. I love Psycho Boy. So Ava takes him outside to, like, quote unquote, beat him up for insulting Johnny. And then they start to make out. And then fat ass JR throws her in the bushes and he, like, raises his butt in the air and, like, jumps on top of her. It's like, it was so crazy, people. And she runs off. It was pretty funny. And then what happened? I think John Boy at that point walked in again, and then she looks all guilty, of course. And I kind of like that, though. And then JR goes off and talks to Adam. And their people is like this Vaseline lens people at the comeback that drives me crazy. Crazy. You can barely see the characters. It's so fogged up. It's like special lighting. It's nuts. So they have a conversation, and it's kind of creepy because he tells Adam that he almost had sex with Ava. And then Adam starts talking about his conquests. And I'm a little grossed out at this point. I don't need to know some of that stuff. That's like knowing about your mom and dad having sex. You just don't want to know. Like, I don't want to know about Adam's sexual conquests. Like, I'll see you in a relationship with Crystal. That would be really nice. But I don't want to think about you having sex. You know what I'm saying? It's gross. So, okay, so we end the week, like, JR, I don't know, distressing over Ava and moving forward with this venture and stuff like that. And we have Ava trying to convince Johnny not to marry her. And he ain't getting the picture. Doormat Johnny ain't getting the picture. Ava keeps saying things like, I'm not really good at love. Like, I, God, I hate myself. You're too good for me. I'm not good enough for you. You're so awesome. Like, I'm so stupid and you're so awesome. And I just, God, I mean, I'll let you off the hook. Like, I know you didn't really want to do this, so it's okay. Get the hit, Johnny. Get the point. The girl ain't into it. Dag. You ever read that book, She's Just Not That Into You? Or He's Just Not That Into You, whatever. It's the same thing. She ain't that into you. Wake up. Wake up, psycho boy. She ain't into you. I forgot what happened, people, at the end of the week with those two. Does anybody remember? Because I don't. It seemed like she was going to tell Johnny about JR, but she didn't. I don't remember what happened. You may need to look at the recaps to figure that out. All right, let's wrap this up, people. We got Kendall and Zach at the beginning of the week, remember? We had Zach, you know, fending off Hannah. And he tells Kendall the absolute truth about everything that Hannah said. And Kendall don't flinch. She don't twitch. Nothing. And usually I like Zach being a little detached and all that, but this time I found it weird. I don't know, people. I found it odd. He was, like, so coolly detached. I was kind of not trusting it, but she believes him totally. Of course she does. I mean, he does love her. So I had no problem with that. I thought that was nice. And then they start making out, like, they're going to have sex. And I like that. And then Josh walks in. Then Josh tries to convince Zach not to fire Hannah. And then Josh goes to see Hannah. He's so pissed at her. I have to tell you that the depression card that Hannah is playing is a little unattractive to me. She's so attractive, but then she's always so moody and depressed. It's like, I don't get it. Lighten up, lady. Hannah knows that Zach is going to fire her, but Josh says he's going to ask Zach not to. And he did. Like I said, he did. So it's kind of fun. I don't know. I do want Josh not to always be a glutton for women who don't love him. She loves Zach. She don't love him. And it turns out, people, of course, I was so stupid about this. It turns out, of course, that Adam and Hannah are plotting together. And she tells him that she's hit a road bump. And he reminds her that she has a big secret she needs to protect. And I don't think I know what that secret is, people. He tells her to get to work and he pats her cheek. I thought that was pretty funny. And then he meets her at the comeback next day. And Crystal catches them working together, you know. Crystal wore that blue top, people, this week. That was so trashy, but I loved it. It was real tight. It had a cutout. It was like a keyhole top. It was bright turquoise blue. I loved it. I thought she looked great. So, I mean, basically, I don't remember how it exactly ended. But I do know that they convinced Crystal that they don't have a previous relationship. And that, you know, she's got to work really hard to figure out this whole Zach thing and help Adam out. So we'll see what happens. I just need a little sex between Hannah and Josh. I'm very happy. That makes me very happy. And then last but not least, people, we got Kendall and Greenlee. I ain't gonna talk about Greenlee and Aiden because I don't care. But we do see Kendall and Greenlee. And Kendall sees Greenlee at the hospital. And she, like, reels her in even more. And this doormat Greenlee, I'm telling you, people, is very unattractive. She is a total doormat. Kendall leaves the hospital, like, vowing revenge and taking her plan, that she's going to take her plan to the next level. And so then she goes home and she types all this stuff in front of Spike. And I really love it. It's like so creepy. It's like, Spike, one day we'll be together. I love you, Spike. You were the son that I was supposed to have, not Kendall. I'm coming for you, Spike. I'm coming. Or something like that. I don't know. It's like really, really creepy. Really, ooh, so creepy, Kendall. I love it. I love Kendall because she could pull that off because she's got all these different facets of her personality and things that she'll do for her kids and her loved ones and stuff. So I do. I love that and I'm buying it. You know, I'm buying it completely. And then, but the weird thing is, people, is that as she's doing this, she starts to have conversations with Greenlee, like Greenlee after the accident, like bloody to a pulp Greenlee. And that was pretty crazy. And people, I was noticing that even fake Greenlee whines and cries. So I don't know. This is a bee thing. I don't know that I'm ever going to get used to her, people. Anyway, Kendall tells fake Greenlee, you have infected me. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. that's an interesting choice of words. And then it was really awesome because Zach walks in and Kendall is yelling at Invisible Greenlee. It was really chilling. I loved it. And he was so, like, you could see it all in his face. He was so concerned. And then Kendall somehow talks her way out of this. I don't know how that woman talks her way out of it, but she did. Even I bought it. I don't remember the exact reason, but I bought it. I'm so bored with Greenlee and Aiden, but I know you, a lot of you people out there probably enjoy it. So I'm going to try to not be so negative. Again, I don't have anybody to counter me, so I'm going to try to be nice, not mean. Greenlee and Aiden are supposed to go on some trip to do more investigative work for Richie. And basically what happens is they get ready to leave and they start like PDAing all over the comeback. And then Kendall calls Greenlee and invites her over. And Greenlee says she can't because she's going away. And Kendall's like, that's okay. No, no problem. We'll see each other after you get back. And then she knows, she hangs up the phone. She's like, any minute now. Because she know Greenlee gonna call. And of course, Greenlee tells Aiden about their secret pact, and which is really funny that she is telling Aiden about their secret pact. I'm going to tell you right now, old Greenlee, real Greenlee, would not have been blabbing her mouth to Aiden about this thing. I don't see it, people. I don't see it. This Greenlee is treating this secret, this pact, like she's a little like 10-year-old kid. It's bizarre. So anyway, of course... Doormat Greenlee. We got a lot of doormats on the show lately. Doormat Greenlee decides to actually go meet Kendall. And they meet in the park. So we'll see what happens, people. People, that is all I got. If you have anything else to add, I would love to hear it. Because I'm really much more interested in what you have to say than what I have to say. You can email me at the Pine Valley Podcast at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. You can go to our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pine Valley Podcast, or you can just go right to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. Thank you for listening this week. It was great to be here. I don't love to be alone, I'll admit it, but I love to do a show for you all, and I hope you liked it. And we should have a special new guest next week, and then maybe a couple surprises after that. So I'm looking forward to what's coming up on the show. I'm looking forward to what's coming up on the podcast. Thanks for listening, people. Peace out, and here's a little something just for you.
Hey, is this that fine little angel that belongs to me?
Jesse, I was just thinking about you.
Yeah? Oh, that's good. I like to hear that. Listen, baby, it's all set.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay, I hope you're as happy as I am, baby.
Yeah, of course I am. I'm real excited.
Okay, here's the deal. It's the Evergreen Motel, right? It's at the corner of Valley Road and Route 40. Got it? Oh, and the room number is 12, okay?
You want me to meet you there?
Yeah, I think that'd be the best thing, right? But I'll be there as soon as possible, okay? Don't worry.
Okay, Jesse, listen, it's going to take me a little while because, I'm going to take care of some things first, okay?
Oh, solid. You leave whenever you're ready, all right?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Jesse, I'll talk to you later.
Baby, I'm looking forward to this. I can't wait.